Also, he is a pastor there in Kentucky as well. We had him here yesterday and Friday doing our youth workers training. And what an incredible move of God happened in this fellowship hall right over here. At the very end of his message, the Holy Ghost just fell into the room. There were people that were laid out speaking in tongues. There were people with their face against the wall, staining the walls with their tears as the power of God began to move into that place. And I feel with all of my heart that it is going to happen again here this morning. Are you ready to hear from the Word of God? Hallelujah. Well then, let's make welcome Brother Jerry West all the way from Kentucky at this time.
Why don't we just take a moment and put our hands together to the Lord, give Him praise. Come on, He's an on-time God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, I feel the presence of the Lord here today. Man, I feel faith in this house. Man, we're singing that song, He's an on-time God, and I was reminded of the scripture where David said that I waited patiently for the Lord. Sometimes we got to wait a while. We feel like we wonder how it's going to come together. But David said that as he waited patiently on the Lord, that He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And then he said, we know this scripture, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. The thing that we overlook sometimes is when David said that he waited on the Lord, that word is also translated hoped. He wasn't just sitting around with his arms crossed, Brother Marshburn. He wasn't just sitting there doubting, wondering, watching the clock, but he was sitting there saying, God is about to show up in my circumstance. God is about to move in my situation. Not only does it say hope, but it also means expected. So while he was in that season of waiting and wondering, he was also trusting and expecting. He was sitting there on a Sunday morning maybe, and he said, I just know God is about to do something for me. I wonder if there's somebody in this house on a Sunday morning. You may not know how it's going to work out yet, but you would just testify and say, God is about to do something in my life. God's about to work in my family. God is about to heal my body. God is about to move and fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody that would expect with me today and say, God is about to hear our cries? Come on, I'm not going to sit back and wonder and doubt, but while I'm waiting, I'm going to be trusting. While I'm waiting, I'm going to be praising. Amen, amen. It feels good in the house of the Lord this morning. Man, we're going to the book of Exodus, the 25th chapter. I do want to just take a moment and say how much I appreciate this opportunity to be able to be with you here today. It was a treat to be with the youth workers of the North Carolina district. Jeremy, Sister Tiffany Moore, and then Brother and Sister Carson and Amanda Marshburn. They have shown themselves to be incredible servants this week. And I know that this church is blessed by the entire Marshburn family. And then Pastor Marshburn, what a treat to get to meet him and to get to just be around him for a little bit. A man of incredible faith. And we see the results of their labor here this morning. And we walked the back of the property yesterday and was able to just get a glimpse of their dream and the faith that they have for this community. I believe God is just getting started in Lexington. Amen. I think you're about to walk into an incredible season of revival and outpouring. And I feel that strongly in the Holy Ghost. And it has been an encouragement for me to be able to be here. Normally, they bring guest speakers in to be an encouragement, but I've been blessed this weekend. I was sitting on the plane Friday, and Brother Jeremy Moore called me just before I had to turn my phone off, so I answered. And he said, would you stay over in Lexington? I didn't have a tie. I didn't have enough pairs of socks. Don't worry, I went to Walmart and I bought both. So I'm not wearing old socks today, but anyhow, we're going to the book of Exodus, the 25th chapter. As you're turning there to the 8th verse, I would draw your attention to the screen for a moment, where I have a snapshot of an article that was posted in the Wall Street Journal some time back that was titled, Europe's Empty Churches Go on Sale. It tells the story of many European churches in village after village throughout that continent that are currently sitting empty, and also told the story of a few that until recently had been sitting empty. One such church that was featured in the article was the Church of St. Joseph in the Netherlands, which once rang with the prayers of nearly 1,000 worshipers, but is sitting empty. The article then tells how that this abandoned church has become an indoor skate park, and that the altar that was built in 1928 has been ripped out to make room for half pipes and ramps. And a skateboard attached to the wall reads, "Ride the dark side." Inside, the article continues that young men speed along wooden ramps and quarter pipes, their falls thundering through the church as rap music reverberates where hymns once sounded. And this church, the article says, isn't alone, but throughout Europe's countryside, in village after village, churches sit empty. And the article concludes that the closing of Europe's churches reflects the rapid weakening of the faith in Europe. And as those churches sit empty across Europe, they are wrestling with the question, what is the fate of these empty churches? And that's a question that I'm going to attempt to answer on this Sunday morning as I'm going to preach to you this thought, the fate of an empty church. In Exodus 25, verse 8, the Bible says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Amen. Would you lift up your hands one more time to the Lord? Open up your hearts. I believe God wants to speak to you this morning. God, we thank you for your presence that's in this place today. Lord, we feel your presence so strong. We know that you have a will to accomplish here this morning. I pray that every heart would be receptive to your word. We know that your word is already anointed, but we pray that we as hearers would be receptive of that anointed word. We thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and glory. One more time before you're seated, would you just clap your hands and thank him for his presence here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I will remain standing for the duration of this sermon. Brother Marshburn said that you all do not pay overtime. That is good news, because I don't like to work overtime. I like to be paid by the minute, not by the hour. Amen. Good to be here this morning. I would tell you first this morning that the church was designed to be full. While the word church was first used in the New Testament, the idea behind the church existed in the Old Testament, throughout the tabernacle and later in the temple. In our text this morning, we read the word, the commandment of God, as he spoke to his man Moses when he declared his intentions, when he said, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." It has always been God's desire to live among his people. And in the Old Testament, we know that this was accomplished through the tabernacle. And within this structure, there were patterns that would be set into place that would indicate God's desire for this New Testament church. The tabernacle was not designed to be empty, but instead it was designed to be full. It would not be just an empty shell that would sit there, that would be a place for people to visit, but every room was filled with specific things. It was designed to be full. That Old Testament sanctuary was designed to be filled with sacrifice. Before you could make it any further in that Old Testament church, you had to lay something down on an altar of sacrifice, and every day the ashes of that altar would be cleaned off, requiring more sacrifice. The church was to be filled with sacrifice. The second thing we know that that Old Testament church was to be filled with was worship. David, of course, captured the essence of God's plan when he declared, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." Even as you were stepping into that church, you were responsible to make sure that that Old Testament sanctuary was filled with worship. And everywhere you would go in the tabernacle, there were places for worship. It was essential that the church would be filled with worship. And the last thing that I will point out about that Old Testament church was that it was designed first and foremost to be filled with God's Spirit. Without the Spirit, it was just another building that was made by men. But when His Spirit would fill that place, it was transformed into something so much greater. I would tell you this morning that it is still God's desire that the church would be full. Amen. God has not changed His plan. But it's still His desire that the church would be full of sacrifice. That people would come into this place willing to give their all. Willing to surrender everything. Laying everything down on an altar. It's God's will that His New Testament church would be filled with sacrifice. I heard someone say recently that the chicken is involved in breakfast, but the pig is committed to it. It's not enough that we would be involved in the church or that we would simply attend the church. Instead, it's God's will that there would be people in Lexington, North Carolina that are committed to the church, that are willing to sacrifice everything for the church, that would lay everything down on an altar to God and say, "Lord, I am willing to give You everything." Hear me. It doesn't cost you anything to come to church. That's not a sacrifice. David said, "I cannot give God that which costs me nothing." But let it be said that the church is still full of people that are willing to sacrifice. People that are willing to lay aside agendas. People that are willing to lay aside personal preferences and come together for the kingdom of God. That we would be people willing to be people of prayer and commitment. The church should be a place that is full of sacrifice. Man, it's still God's desire that the church would be filled with worship. More than a song or more than a string of musical notes and beats, the church should be full of hearts that are fully turned to Him. A church that is missing worship is missing too much. Thank God that we came into a church this morning where people were ready to worship, where people's hearts were turned to God. Amen. It ought to be our desire that everybody that would walk into this church would find a place that's full of worship. I don't have to go searching for it. I don't have to go looking under the pews for it. But everywhere I look, the church should be filled with worship. And when we have those first two things, you can be seated filling the church. The Spirit of God will fill that church. Amen. We need the supernatural Spirit of God filling our church. There is nothing of more importance. There is nothing that should have our attention anymore. We need the Spirit of God. And I would also add to you this morning that the church should be filled with people. Hey man, we can't buy into the lie that God is happy with half full churches. But let it be said that we're ready to fill up the church. Y'all have filled up this church and you're going to fill up another. But don't be satisfied there. There are people in this city that need to hear the gospel. There are people that need to know the life-changing power of the Spirit of God. So let there be people in Lexington that would say, "We're going to fill up the church. We're going to go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. That my house will be filled." Amen. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. I believe that's still the will of God. God's still in the business of saving souls. He's still in the business of filling the church. The church is to be filled with people. Hear me. I don't believe that we have seen our greatest revival. I don't believe that our best days are behind us. And you say, well, you're coming to a church that believes that. Well, I'll preach it for myself for a little bit then. I believe God is going to fill people with the Holy Ghost in the last days, that the windows of heaven are going to be open. I don't think we can even imagine and fathom what God desires to do in our churches and in our lives when we fill our churches with sacrifice and with worship and with the Spirit of God. You haven't seen the greatest headlines of what the Spirit of God can do in a life. God is in the business of saving and touching and filling people with His Spirit. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit. Amen. Without question, every obstacle that we face, there will be people that will wonder, well, maybe we have done enough. Maybe we should be celebrating the fact that we have filled up this building. Maybe there would be some here this morning that would say, I don't know, Brother Marshburn, why we would go and get a loan from the bank. I don't know why we would go and do that when we have a good sized church here, maybe one of the largest churches in the city. It's because Brother Marshburn understands that the church was built to be full. Amen. That God is not done in this city, and this building right here cannot contain what God desires to do. So let's get behind the vision of the man of God and say, I just believe that God has more for us. I believe that there are more souls that are going to be saved. I'm not going to stop preaching. I'm not going to stop believing. I'm not going to stop trusting. I'm not going to stop praying. Man, the church was built to be full. But as the Wall Street Journal article points out, it is also true that a church can become empty. Europe, of course, is learning this fact all too well. The church can become empty. In the natural, as the article points out, churches become empty when the worshipers stop coming. In the natural, churches become empty when people settle for being involved instead of committed. And lastly, churches in the natural become empty when faith declines. But in the spiritual, churches become empty when you remove the altars of sacrifice. Churches become empty in the spiritual when we settle for spending a few hours with Him instead of committing everything to Him. Churches become empty when the worship isn't flowing, when we worship with our lips and not with our hearts, and when we become more concerned with making sure the song is right than we are making sure our hearts are right. And churches become empty in the spiritual when our faith declines. God forbid that the apostolic church would become empty. In the Wall Street Journal, a lady by the name of Lillian, who is an activist that's fighting to save the church, in her small Dutch town cried out, if the church is abandoned, we will have a huge change in our country. She understands the importance of the church. When the church is abandoned, there is change. You cannot walk away from the church and not be changed. Thank God for the church. Thank God for what He has put together in Lexington. Thank God for an apostolic church where the truth is preached. I'm not going to abandon the church. I'm not going to walk away from the church. My family needs an apostolic church. My home needs an apostolic church. My community needs a strong apostolic church. Hear me, Lexington needs this church. Your school needs this church. I'm not going to walk away from the only thing that's saving my family. In March, I read an article that asked the question, why are there so many empty church pews? It says that in communities that need them the most, the churches have grown the weakness. And then it concludes that money, divorce, TV is destroying the American church. hear me. We got to be vigilant and understand that the church is under attack by our culture and by our world. And there needs to be an army of apostolic people that will rise up and say, I'm still thankful for the church. I still need the church. I still depend on the church. I'm still going to sacrifice to the church. I'm still going to worship in the church. I'm going to bring my family to the church. I'm going to be faithful to the church. I need this church. Man, a church can become empty. The third and final thing that I would preach to you this morning is to tell you that a church cannot stay empty for long. The Wall Street Journal asked the question, what is the fate of an empty church? They're finding out that these churches are being turned into skate parks and bars and retail stores, all because they are discovering that the church cannot stay empty for long. Something is going to fill the church. It was built to be full. But when it is no longer a church in our eyes, one patron said, it can have any purpose. Understand this morning. The church is more than a building. It was designed to be the dwelling place for God. In the Old Testament, it was a tabernacle. And then it was a temple. But in the New Testament, the church is not a building. The dwelling place for God became you and I. 1 Corinthians says it this way, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And then it says in the next book, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. You are the church. I am the temple. And while that does not dismiss the importance of this structure of the church as we know it, we must understand that simply coming to this structure does not mean that your heart, that your church is not sitting empty. That this church can be full on a Sunday morning. That you can be a part of a full church on a Sunday morning, and yet your church, your heart could be sitting empty. While you're surrounded by people who are in a building, who are in a building that we call the church, that there would be churches throughout this building today that are sitting empty. But you must understand that just like that Old Testament church, that the church of your heart, that your temple was designed to be full. And it can be empty for a while. You can empty it for a season. But I've come to tell you that your church, that your heart, it will not stay empty for long. If you decide not to fill your life with worship to God, you will eventually fill your life with worship to something else, because your heart, it cannot stay empty for long. If you decide not to surrender to God and to His calling and to His plan for your life, you will surrender to something. You'll surrender to some other plan and some other initiative for your life, because your heart cannot stay empty for long. There is no such thing as neutral. You have to choose. Choose you this day who you will serve. He said, indecision is still a decision. You say, well, I'm not making a decision. I'm throwing up my hands. Hear me. When you throw up your hands, you have made a decision. You've not only made a decision to reject God and reject God's love and His mercy for your life, but you've also made a decision to embrace His judgment and His unforgiveness in your life. Hear me. You have a decision to make. Will you choose to have a full church? Jesus, of course, tells it better than I. What is the fate of an empty church, of an empty heart? When He tells the story in Matthew chapter number 12, when He says, in beginning in verse number 43, that when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into the house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty. What is the fate of an empty heart? What is the fate of an empty church? And then he says that then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And catch this part. It says, even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Now we understand the context and what he was saying, that he's speaking specifically about demonic possession. I understand that. But then he made that point at the end and said, this isn't just about demonic possession, but this is a word to an entire generation. You got to understand that when you reject God and you say, I don't want his love, I don't want his mercy, I don't want his church, then you are saying, I want something else. You cannot just say no and keep your heart empty, but your heart is going to be filled. God forbid that after he saved us, after he cleaned us out, after he forgave us of all of our sin, that we would push him away and attempt to close down our church. We would close down our temple. Historian Bernard Lewis says that Europe is in surrender mode, that they have just rejected faith altogether. But in doing so, in surrendering to faith, in pushing away doctrine and the church, they are finding out that it cannot stay empty. And in Europe, where they have rejected Christianity, the Muslim faith, Brother Marshburn, is rising up in numbers. Mosque after mosque is popping up. They're finding out that you cannot stay empty for long. Where there is a void, something else will fill it. And I didn't come to talk about empty buildings today. I've come to preach to some empty hearts and some hearts that maybe it's filled with some bad things right now. And I want you to know that God built your heart. He built your life to be filled with his spirit, to be filled with his love, to be filled with his mercy. And you got a choice today. What are you going to let occupy your heart? What are you going to let occupy your life? I don't know about you, but I say, come Holy Spirit. I want your spirit. I want to fill my life with worship to God. I want to fill my life with sacrifice to God. I want to fill my life with surrender to his spirit. You will surrender to something. John 14:17, as you will stand, the Bible says that even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. God wants to fill you. God wants to move for you. God wants to move for the church. I didn't come with a long message today, but I've come with what I believe is a word from the Lord for this church. And for these people here this morning, I want you to know that God built your heart. He built your life so that it would be filled. And the things that should fill our lives are the same things that filled that Old Testament tabernacle. We got to fill our life with worship. We got to fill our life with sacrifice to God. Being willing to give him everything, to surrender everything, to lay down everything, to clean our lives out so that his spirit can come in. The Bible says he won't dwell in an unclean temple. The good news is you don't have to do the cleaning yourself. His blood can do that. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're facing here this morning, but I think it would be a good thing for every one of us just to close our eyes throughout this building and begin to take inventory of our own lives and our own hearts. And we're going to shout tonight. We're going to have faith rise in this place tonight. But this morning, I'm going to ask that you'd search your heart, every man, every woman, every child, and you'd begin to say, Lord, I want my life to be filled with your spirit. I want my life to be filled with worship. I want my life to be filled filled with sacrifice. Maybe you've been surrendering to the wrong things. Well, today's a new day, and His mercy is new today, and you can begin to surrender to Him. Maybe you've been pushing away worship and pushing away sacrifice, but today is a new day, and you can say, God, I'm recommitting myself to worship on this Sunday morning. I'm recommitting myself to Your Spirit today. Or maybe you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. God wants to fill you today. Every heart was designed to be filled with the Spirit of God. For the promises to you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'll tell you, He's calling everybody. He's searching every heart, asking that everyone would be filled with His Spirit. So we're going to invite the church to come in this house this morning. And I'm going to ask you, whether you've been in the church for 50 years or for 5, that you just recommit your heart this morning. Say, God, I want my life to be filled with worship. I want my life to be filled with sacrifice. I want Your Spirit to live in me, and I want You to be in control of me. Come on, if you never received the Holy Ghost, you need to let Him come inside of you today. You need to let Him fill you this morning. Maybe you could just come around this altar and say, I believe God's going to give us great revival. I believe God's going to fill our youth group. I believe God's going to multiply our church. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to do my part by filling this place with worship and with sacrifice.
That will bless your heart.
Hallelujah. Come on. Today's the day of commitment. Today's the day to turn your heart back to God. Come on. The world's been pulling at you. The world's been tugging at you. Lord, I need You today.
You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, You're looking into my heart.
Come on, open up your heart to Him right now.
I'm coming back to
God. Wants to fill you with His Spirit. God wants to renew you today.
When it's all about
hallelujah,
you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's all about You.
To reach over if it's comfortable, rest a hand on the shoulder of a friend, and let's pray the prayer of faith for them, because as it flows from you, it's going to flow in from somewhere else. And that causes a renewing. Amen. And so let the Lord stir up the gift of God within you and renew you, refresh you. Hallelujah. Making my way back.
I will answer.
I'm making my way back.
Lord,
hallelujah. We've already had one receive the Holy Ghost this morning. Mark, you've got the angels in heaven rejoicing. You've got all heaven in an uproar this morning.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Don't you know that's refreshing for God to see? After all the things He has to see.
Yes.
After all the things He has to witness. It's a wonderful thing to know that there's a little church down here in Lexington, North Carolina, that's tearing heaven all to pieces with worship and praise. My Bible says that all the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that repents. And we've had one receive the Holy Ghost. My. Wow. Congratulations, Seth. Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't He? He surely is. Praise the Lord. He needs no respecter of persons. What He's done for me, He'll do for you. And the ground is level at the base of the cross. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, man of God. What a word. Fred, I just noticed you were here today, buddy. You've been through a number of things. And can you walk this morning or... Brother, why don't you give him a hand coming down here so we can lay hands on him and pray. I'm pointing at you. Brother Flannery, the good-looking one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you brethren, come and lay hands on Brother Fred. He's been through some physical problems and situations, and we know that that plays on the mind as well. And so we want him to be renewed, healed, and refreshed, touched, and blessed of God right now.
I want you to know.
Oh, hallelujah.
I will be the one.
Oh, yes.
I will be the one.
Yeah, hallelujah.
To worship Your name. My hands will be raised high to You in prayer.
Blessings of the Lord.
My heart will always sing.
Paul said, I watered it. Or so, Paul said, I planted it. He said, Apollos watered it. But God, what did God do with it? So we're just trying to find our place, whether we're planting or watering, it doesn't matter. But let's let God provide the increase. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the gift of salvation is free. And I've always said, so come and get your free gift. After that, go to work. And let's labor with great love and passion for the kingdom of God so He can provide the increase. Well, now we're going to have to strike iron while the fire's hot, and so We've got the finger of evangelism with us this weekend. We know there's a fivefold ministry, and that completes the hand of God upon the church. We've got the evangelist here. So do everything you can to get a guest. Get somebody here tonight. Hammer on a backslider. Tell them you'll give them a big hamburger if they come or something like that. Praise God. Amen. All right. God richly blesses you.